Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 156, part 1, Great Form but No Power. Today is Friday, July 16th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop at Pastor Paul's Mall online. Be sure to check out vonsgrocery.com. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, Twitter, the podcast, Life Vantage, and YouTube. So be sure to check out the online community at pastorpaul.org. You can email me, Janine, at pastorpaul.org. And at Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to find show notes with scripture links. So be sure to check those out and join us every week for part one on Friday and part two of Pastor Paul's messages. The conclusion is on Sunday. This month, the month of July, the lineup is the following: Proud Self, Asking Evil Questions, Great Form but No Power, Are You a Believer in Seasons, So Weeping, Reap Rejoicing, Times of Fearing and Doubting. There you have it, the month of July. Hope you have a great summer. Be sure to join us every week here on Friday and Sunday for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
Great form, but no power. Having a form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I believe this. The reason that the power is gone is because the power is transferred to the person. Instead of going to the source, the Lord, we sort of introvert ourselves. We lose all of our power. We try to go on our own might and our own power, but God says, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So out of 2 Timothy 3 and 5, great form, running form, looking good, excuse form. Well, there's all kinds of excuses. But never being formed into the image of Jesus Christ. But looking great. Looking, well, you're in great form. We have so much of that today, a form of religion. form of prayer, form of talk. There's a certain lingo that Christians have. Certain things they say all the time. Little things they have, form talk. And you can just about tell where they come from because they are in a form. They have this certain things they say to one another all the time. How are you? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's interesting. And they have certain things they say all the time and they become unreal. So they get into a form and they think, well, no, I'm this certain form and this is what I'm going to conform to. It isn't conforming to the image of Jesus Christ at all. No, it's having a form of godliness. It's striving and stretching and straining and reading all kinds of books on how to, but never getting to it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, because it'll waste your time. Demanding God to stay in a form. Now, God, this is the way you work all the time. And I know this is the form that you have for me to walk in. Well, God isn't in it at all. Because much of it is void of love, has none at all. And if you don't believe it, come against one of these people that preach like this and ask them a simple question. Does God always answer prayer the same way? Now, there is a certain group that think that God answers prayer the same way all the time. No, sometimes he says no. Sometimes, right in the middle of our crusader rabbit form, God says no. There's a purpose in this, and don't involve yourself. It's a form of godliness, and it looks good. And it tears down all the magazines and all the dirty books, and it machine guns all the whiskey stores and everything. But it's only a form of godliness. And it denies the power thereof. It's saying we can take care of this situation instead of prayer and fasting and saying, God, have your own way. We say, Lord, we know you want. We sort of crusade. We like go back into the dark ages and have a crusade. All void of love. But does God answer prayer the same way? Does he always say yes? Does he always say, let me attend to your every prayer? Sometimes we think, well, you just get down on your hands and knees and pray in faith and God will answer that prayer. Hey, that's not the way it is. He always answers prayer, but it's in his time, and sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no answer at all. Well, you know what will happen if you don't believe some of these things? You'll be called negative, thrown out like a leper. But Paul warns us about this group of characters that are going to appear in the very last days, and what a list it is. What a list that they're forming right now. Yes, I think that they've appeared in this latter day right now, and I think they're coming in greater numbers all of the time. Lovers of self, well, there's a lot of ways to love yourself. You know, sometimes you can just, beat yourself. You just love yourself so much, and you get out there, and you just do this, you do that. But it's all for the love of yourself, so people can see what you're doing, don't you see? Covetous, it says, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Oh, how many times are we unthankful? God will just answer a prayer in a miraculous way. Something will turn loose. Finances will come in. Beautiful things will happen. No, that's not enough. We forget about it. We become unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, it says. Well, abortions, that's without natural affections. Truth breakers, false accusers. Now, this is in the last age. False accusers. Well, the Bible says that there is an accuser of the brethren. And who is he? He's the devil. Okay. Incontent and uncontented, uncommitted. Fierce. In the end, you are going to see brother against brother in a very fierce struggle. Okay. Despisers of those that are good. Now, in the end, they're going to call good evil and evil good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, you have to check yourself out on all of these things. It seems like myself that I'm always in a siege of repenting. Not saying that's all bad, but it seems like, God, why do I always have to repent all the time of everything? God says, well, I've given you the spirit of repentance, and you start to repent before that thing even happens. Are you hearing this? And it says in the Bible, they will swarm together. Bees are swarming. Like flies, and they'll congregate like maggots and make things very hard in the very last time, the very last age. We are seeing right now, and I believe it right now, sometimes in the world. I have to say this. Now, you listening on the radio, listen to what I have to say here. Sometimes worldly people treat you better than the Christian does. Now, I'm sorry I have to say that, but it really is the truth. There are things that our Christians are doing to one another that in the world they would not do. And they do it in the name of Jesus. They do it in the name of love. I'm getting phone calls from all over of people suffering from what other Christians are doing to one another. Wow, wow, how is that? Lovers of self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce beggars, false accusers, uncontented, uncommitted, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. That's what we're running into right now, a waste of time. Oh, painful to face these last people, these last age people. What a pain to face them. Well, how do I know this? Listen. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Turn away from it. Change the subject. Someone wants to get into a conversation? Change the subject. Well, you may even think as you read Paul here that he's very negative. And that's like we hear so many say in these last days. Well, he does not paint a very rosy picture, but he simply goes ahead and tells the truth. Now listen, if you go ahead and tell the truth, and tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God, you know something? You're not going to be very popular. Do you know you're not going to build a very good reputation? Did you know that? When you just simply tell it, let's admit it. We are in a very perilous and a terrible time right now. And some of us are looking for things to get better and better. Things are not going to get better. No, they are not. Oh, but let's have faith and believe things are going to get better. No, they're not going to get better. No, they're not. Stop looking for a miraculous change in people's morals by burning all of their porno books. It isn't going to happen. The Bible tells you that. Right now, they can film their own X-rated movie. Go ahead. Go on down. Burn all those things. And they'll go ahead and they'll do their own thing anyway. See, I think many times what we're hearing preached has no solid basis to rest upon. Only when King Jesus comes, listen to this now, only when King Jesus comes will the world change. They will not change now, but they will steadily become worse. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? Oh, but we got to get out there and we got to tell these people and we got to warn them what's going to happen. Yes, you preach the gospel, but don't look for it to get any better. It's going to change when the Lord comes with a rod. I'll get by with a little help from the rod of God. How many know that's the truth? Stop crusading the world. Judge ye not the world, for it is already judged. If we spent more time being a Christian, doing the work that God had foreordained us to do, we wouldn't have time to go ahead to criticize one another, to tear down, to judge the world, to get into arguing over what's humanistic and what isn't humanistic, and who cares anyway. It's the lifting up of Jesus that's going to do anything anyway, isn't it? It's the leading of souls to Jesus Christ that's going to do anything, isn't it? It's the moving ahead of the Lord that's going to do something. It's a pressing forward. It's a always going forward. It's a never laying down the plow. It's a never turning around. It's a pressing forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ. So why get into all this stuff? Are you hearing it? Oh, my God. You know, a lot of times you're ministering, there's some people even right now on the radio that don't even hear what you're saying. Why is that? Because we become lovers of ourselves. Death. And things, mark it down, the time is close, will become darker. Mankind, the Bible says, will worsen spiritually. People are going to be involved more in their personal problems than they are following Jesus. Following Jesus will become secondary. Well, they'll say, but shouldn't you have this first? No. Seek ye first. Now, I didn't say this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. Now, if you take a look at the early church, well, can I go back and bury my father? No, you have to come. That's just an excuse. Well, can I go say goodbye to my friends? Nope, there's no time for that. Whatever goes around, comes around. And we're coming around to the very same thing, the very same ministry that Jesus Christ had. If you're not for me, you are against me. If you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, then you're seeking yourself. Now that's a pretty hard message, isn't it? Especially in this day and age. Oh yes, but family comes first, and church comes first, and job comes first, and this comes first, and that comes first. Is that right? Seek ye first, the Bible says, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And verse 13 says like this, evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Sort of like dipping a candle over and over and over and over, and it becomes thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. And it says, there will spring up in the Christian church and all around it a body of faithless men who profess to have faith. It's people that say, I have faith. Now, when hard times come, let me tell you, you're going to find a lot of people have no faith at all. Jesus says, when I come, will there be any faith found at all? Why is that? Men have left that. Now, I'm starting to work up here, like I told you, on Franklin Avenue. Going down through there, I see people walking from one side of the street to the other side of the street to the other side of the street to the other side of the street. Is there any hope? Yes, there is a hope for a radical preacher and a radical body to move into that area. I'm talking about radical change. I'm talking about lifting up the name of Jesus. I'm talking about opening up shop right there on Franklin Avenue in a bar, a was bar, an X bar, and opening it up and glorifying God right through that place. Are you ready for it? I think I am. I'm believing for it. How many want to believe for it? Oh, God, I do. Sounds exciting to me. Oh, yeah, but we got this to take care of, and we should run back over here. And how about Uncle Fred? And how about this over here? Hey, don't get confused. Don't confuse the issue. The issue is, are you going to go all the way with the Lord or not? I think these are going to be awful hard times for the church. God is calling for 100%. But I think a lot of times we want a plea bargain. Well, how about 60-40? Would you believe 75-25? Can we go 78? Can we go 78-22? Do I hear a 70? Do I hear a 80-20? Huh? No? Now, here, listen to what I'm saying. Hey, you're either going to go all the way. Now, I'm not talking about pretending. I'm talking about a heartfelt, I want to do it, screaming out, send me! Then you won't be popular. People will inevitably and always find something wrong with a person that wants to follow Jesus Christ all the way. Now, did you hear that, preachers that are calling on the telephone? Always. Now, Jim, why are you going down there on that hobo bus and laying under there trying to get a throwout bearing in there so you can get down there and freezing yourself to death? Well, the answer is because you want to. Somebody gets underneath there and peeks underneath there and gets down on the ice and says, Jim, what are you doing under there, guy? Don't you know it's cold outside? What are you doing? Are you some kind of a nut or something? Well, do you really want to do this? You just roll over and say, yes, I really want to do this. I really do. Well, your hands are all blue. Doesn't matter. I really want to do this. I love blue hands. And people will not understand that you love to do that, even to dying to yourself. Oh, Jim, you're just a young man. I mean, after all, guy, you should be out there. Spring birds are, you should turn to spring things. But I don't want to. See, people have been taught no trial. Now, you get into a ministry like this and you are going to have trials. You know what my biggest trial is down here and the biggest trial if anybody gets into a ministry like this? People. Say amen, somebody. The biggest trial is people. Isn't it? When you raise your family, what's your biggest trial? Your kids. Aren't they trying? How many are hearing this? Is it strange? Does it sound like some kind of... No, it's radical. Because it's going to take radical moves. It's going to take people in God to give people role models. We don't have a lot of role models down here. You're not going to see a lot of role models up on Franklin Avenue. Why? Because it's forgotten. Now, there are a lot of could have been, would have been role models, but nobody went up there and said, hey, let's gather some people together and encourage them to be role models. And how do you do that? Oh, you start out by giving your life. Yeah, you go 1 year, then you go a year and a half, then you go 2 years, then you go 3 years, then you go 4 years, then you go 5 years and 6 years and 7 years and 10 years, and then you start to see just a little bit of change. Not much, but a little bit. Just a little bit. And you get encouraged. And a little bit of change. Maybe 20 years from then, you start to see just a little bit of change. But what's happened unseen? What has really happened unseen, unbeknownst to you? Beautiful, wonderful things have happened by you being an example and standing in there and giving your life, which is miserable anyway. You always got something wrong with you. You got an ache and you got a pain and you're mad and you're a rebel and you're this and you're that and oh, you're so disgusted and you're depressed. God says, give me that lousy life. What are you giving up anyway? Man, I am glad to give my life to God. What there is of it. I'm not giving him anything anyway. Just a body. Just a vessel. Shallow, leafy Christians with no root to bear fruit in a dry time. Oh, I'll tell you, there's a dry time coming on. And everybody's going to run around scratching. Well, what's going on? What's happening? What's happening? What's going on? Huh? Now's the time to shout the victory. Say amen, somebody. Now's the time to move ahead. Now's the time to double up. Well, the world says it. Buckle down, Winsocky. Buckle down. But before we go on any further in this message, let me say this. Man is a form, and that's all. And in that form, we house Jesus Christ. So we are half dust and we are half deity. And our religion is in our body, so we must die daily. Well, if you die daily, that means you're resurrected daily. And it's a brand new thought and a brand new idea and a brand new person. And a brand new dawning and a brand new beginning and a brand new morning. So you wake up a totally new person. Isn't that exciting? That means you can forget those things that are past and press forward towards a high mark to calling in Christ. For it is no longer your Monday person that lives, but now it's a Tuesday person that lives. And the Tuesday life that you live in Christ. You live in faith. For it's no longer you that live, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're going to take Christ around in that shell. And you're going to glorify God in your body. So now you don't have nothing to worry about. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? You just give up all of your life and all of your aches and all of your depressions and all of these things to God, and He uses you. That's it. You want to die for Christ? I'm talking about die to yourself? Well, let's think about that for a while. Do I want to give up my life? Do I want to give up my complaining? Do I want to give up my bitterness? Do I want to give up my anger? That's what you are, don't you know? Do I want to give up this frustration? Getting kind of quiet in here. Sounds like a death's going on. Praise God. Drop dead. Every one of you, drop dead. Raise up new in Jesus Christ. That's a simple message. If you could tell everybody now, spiritually, just drop dead. Wouldn't that get rid of a whole lot of bad? Oh, let's go on with this. We must die daily. So it's not our case that we put up. It's manifesting God's purpose. So our body without the Spirit is dead. Now I went into a building. It's a half a block square. It's got a full-press gymnasium, and I won't tell you where it is. A full-press, I'm talking Wilt-the-Stilt gymnasium. I'm talking about full court. I'm talking about offices all over the place, and it's all gated off. Why is that? Because the gymnasium might get dirty. Because the art department might get dirty. Do you know what I saw in there? I said, you know what? There is no Spirit in this building. This great big multi-million dollar building, and it has no Spirit in it. And I believe that we can go down on, I know that the Spirit of God can move through a little storefront. And you know what will happen? It will provoke that building to open up. Provoke it. That means make it jealous to open up. Say amen, somebody. I believe somebody ought to contact the University of Minnesota and go over and get some of those athletes over there that jump on these horses and twirl around and flip over, and they do all these kind of tricks on these, these rings and things like that. And I'm not much of an athlete, but all this kind of thing, don't you know? And say, come on down here and put to work that which you've learned. Let's start to have some role models. Let's give our life right now to gain our life right now. Die daily. Raise up resurrected life every day. Isn't that one way to forget about your past? Bury it. Bury it. Bury your past. Isn't that right? Bury it. Totally move dirt over it. Bury it. And more we need the life of Jesus Christ. See, be in any, the body of religion, without the life of religion, leads to decay. If we don't have the life of Jesus Christ, if we don't have the love of Jesus Christ, which is the working of Jesus Christ, which is the reaching the poor, which is the reaching the widow, which is the reaching the prisoner, if we don't have that, we have decay. If we don't have that, it leads to corruption. If we don't have that, it leads to a rotting away of the character. Know how we need to develop character. All we are is raw material, don't you know, either for the Lord or for Satan. You can't make a Judas except out of an apostle. Are you hearing this? I think one Judas is terrible, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of Judases that are forming right now. By the thousands. By the thousands. Money lovers. Lovers of pleasure, it says, rather than lovers of God. We need to allow the Spirit to make the Word a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our hearts. So first, let's look at men. Secondly, their folly. The Bible says like this. They had a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Note what they had, and also what they had not. They had a form, it says, of godliness. What's that mean? An attention to the rules of religion. Baptism, the Lord's Supper and communion. The form is instructive to others and impressive to man. But I'll tell you right now, it does not make you godly. What makes you godly is doing the works of God. Well, what is the works of God? Where were you when I was a sick? Where were you when I was a widow? Where were you when I was in prison? Well, we didn't know you were any of those things, Lord. Well, I'll tell you, if you've done it to the least of mine, you've done it to me. Where were you when I needed you? Well, they're all out there. They're waiting for a role model. Right now, there's all kinds of little kids out there. They're waiting for some kind of role model. Isn't that right? The black community, The Indian community, Northside community. Where's the role models? Where have all the men gone? Where are they? Where are the role models in the schools? There are no role models in the school anymore. They've switched role models. Man doesn't know if he's a woman. Woman doesn't know if she's a man. It's a mess. And the role models got to come out of being realistic Christians. No, I'm not talking about being some kind of a spiritual boob. Come on now, white-faced and you know, walking just right and talking just right and parroting. I'm talking about being a real Christian that's concerned, and you pray until the grace of God enters your house, enters your heart, until you are concerned heart-wise. Heart-wise. Until you love to do what you're doing. You love it. You're consumed with it. You can't stand to be away from it. If you don't have that, pray for it. My God, pray for it. It's giving your life to gain it. Pray that you're consumed with the Spirit of God to do His work. Don't get hooked up with somebody that'll snatch you away from the love of God. That's what I'm saying. Are you hearing this? A form of godliness, denying the power thereof. From such turn away. But next, as a form, they had to go to church and they sit. That's a form, isn't it? People come. Are you listening to this? Maybe you're sitting down. Maybe you're listening already. It's a form. It's a form when people go to. Have you ever been in church where it's just a form for people to go to church? And they come into church and they probably had a hellish fight out in the parking lot, smacked, pinched, beat each other, and they got a, you know, they come in church and they're meaner than hell itself when they get in there and they're sitting there and they're all just mad. That is a form of godliness. And just sit there. Say amen. And they listen to some of the message. And they sing. And they yawn. And they endure for 1 hour a week. A form. They will find any excuse whatsoever not to come. Because they're living a form. They haven't given their life yet. One little thing will turn them on. Oh, God, and their whole life is helter-skelter, messed up, and they're evil as can be. And they, why? They haven't given their life. Without God, we're all evil. Say amen, somebody. Are you hearing this? Oh, God. That isn't all bad. To come and to sit and to listen and to sing and to yawn 1 hour a week, that isn't all bad. But it is useless. But it has no power without the power of God. A form. A form. A form. So many times there's form. Dad gets up. Are you hearing this, sister? Are you? How many are hearing this message? You know. I mean, you know, I'm preaching to the wind here. Come on. I mean, Dad gets up in the morning. He puts on his suit and he puts on his tie. And, you know, it's a form. And the kids now get ready, kids. And the kids get all ready and they're cherub-faced. And Mom gets all ready. And they go to church. It doesn't mean nothing. You want to know why? Because the rest of the week, they're not living it. They live it when they leave that door. When they go out of that house, then they start to live it. They get back inside of those four walls, let me tell you, they're not living one piece of it. It's not in their heart. It's form. It's going to church, and you can go to some high-powered meetings, and oh my, they'll be up there and they'll praise. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, 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 da-da-da-da, da-da-da. Empty praises. And you know why they're empty? Because we're not doing anything. Empty praises from an empty heart. Person told me. Oh, and I went here and I went there and it was just, and praises is beautiful. I love to praise God too. But I think without something being done after those praises, they are empty. I think they even mock God. Say amen, somebody. Oh, they don't? Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. How would you like to have somebody praising you that was working for you? Well, let's say that you owned a factory and the whole factory didn't do anything. Praise the Lord. Praise this General Motors. Praise General Motors. Oh, we love. Now, let's just use this as a, okay? And all of these people are praise. You know what the boss is going to tell you? That's all really good. But now we got cars to make here. Oh, but let's just claim them to be done, sir. We claim that 50,000 units will go up. Now, sir, don't get excited. You just don't understand these things, sir. How long do you think you're going to last? How long do you think you're going to last? If you go, now you working? Do you work? Do you work? Where do you work? Okay. Let's say that all the bus drivers just get out there and they're going to have a session of, you know, praising their buses. Them buses need people to get behind there with arms and legs and shift gears and drive them. Right? Now, is that too realistic? Why can't we do the same thing with Christianity? Because, oh, that is not spiritual, you see. That gets me. Doesn't that get you? Huh? It's not spiritual enough to feed people and to go out and to witness, but hey, you don't have to do that. Get in your prayer closet. Crawl under some old rug. But then we have the religious talkers. They defend the Bible, but they never read it. They love to defend their doctrine. They quote godly phrases. They have tongue godliness. In other words, they're godly with their tongue. Their tongue is godly. Well, how about the rest of your body? You ever seen somebody that's tongue godly? You ever been, oh, now let me put it in relation to this. Do you ever get to doing something and you finish the whole, you just about got the job done, and then all these people come in and tell you how you should have done it? Well, you know, if you would have done it this way, and I learned this, a guy told me this a long time ago. Now, if you would, I was going to say something, but I know that how you are, but but they'll tell you after that you get it going. Tongue godliness is the same thing. You get into a work or you're doing something. Brother or sister, do you think this is of God? Well, I don't know, but we'll sure find out. You won't find out by just wagging your tongue. Tongue godliness. Now, you cannot talk about feeding hobos, and you can't, Randy, talk about picking up bread, right? You got to literally go pick it up. Well, let's see. We got to go over to the country store. And after you go to the country store, then we got to go over to McGlynn. And after you go to McGlynn, we got to go out there to Holiday. And, well, you know, we got to go here and there and so on like that. And you sit there for a while. Then we got to go to Holiday. And then we got to go to McGlynn. And you go through the whole thing again? No, you have to get up and drive the truck. Did I say something dirty? Did I say something dirty? You got to get up and you got to drive the truck. Right? If you're going to be a role model, you just don't stand there looking holy. You do it by your works. You do things. You're a model by what you do. How many are hearing this? Oh, please, somebody hear it. I know you're hearing it in here. Are you hearing it out there?